Well, sorry to disappoint you, but it's not Andy Wint, it's Phil Gawne. So yes, fast am I, it's just after midday, Mun Lair on Thursday, Jadane and Hartu Lair's Feed Me Lunaston, and this is Manx Radio's Man in Line, it's me, Phil Gawne. No, no, don't switch off. What would you like to talk about? Strange dreams, wind farms, effective government? Perhaps there's some crossover there? This is your programme, so please call and tell us what you think. If you've got a question on anything to do with, I don't know, Manx life generally, the government, whatever, we'll do our best to answer. Or indeed, if there's anything else on your mind this dinner time, 66 13 68 is the number to call. You can also text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. And first of all, I should begin by apologising to Amy because you think you've got it just about sussed, this whole Man in Line thing, and then I forgot to turn the news studio fader up. But we'll get there one day. One day I'll get this perfectly right. And thanks to texter or WhatsApper ending 695. Faster my Phil, what's the Manx for hit the wrong button? Yes, very good. I like that. I was going to hopefully, well, I might encourage you because I woke up this morning and had this from a most bizarre dream. I've never fancied being a motorbike rider myself, but I woke up from this dream and apparently I'd just won a TT race. And then as I was being congratulated, I think Chris Kinley informed me that I'd actually won 7 previous TT races. It's never been an aspiration of mine, a most bizarre dream. I wonder whether, to lighten the mood, we might want to share some of those. But then again, we might not. To begin, we have David. I think David is on line one, and hopefully I'll remember which buttons and knobs to press. David, are you there?
I am, Phil. Can you hear me?
I can. Marvellous. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about the strange thing, if you're talking about dreams, really.
Yeah.
One of the dreams I have all the time is, do you think our government ever listen to us and do what they want? That's the biggest one. But I want to talk about trade.
that's a good one. I like that.
Apprentices and community service and those that are actually in prison. And my recollection of not being in prison, but in being involved in community service, the prison service and stuff like that years ago, but even recently there, is it's a great idea. But my concern, my direct concern is here is, why isn't the government supporting businesses that employ builders, electricians, plumbers, all those sort of things, gardeners or whatever, to get a skill, used to call it in the old days, City and Guilds, it's probably called something different now, is why are they not giving firms who have more, I believe, than 10 employees, they don't get any money and they don't get any help? Why is that?
And that's a good,
and I know you,
good question. I mean, I don't know the answer. Part of the issue, I think, at the moment still is that we've got relatively full employment, so it's quite difficult for government to get too involved in these schemes. I'm sure that anyone listening who is unemployed will probably not think the same. But yeah, that, I know that's part of the difficulty government has, which is why, of course, they're trying to grow the population.
Yeah, but a few weeks ago we had a lady on that said, or a family that was on said, her son couldn't get a job as an apprentice, and they were prepared to pay for his tuition to be done. But the problem you've got now is you need an employer to pick the apprentice up so you have continuing employment. So you get them, it's not 4 years anymore, I think it's only 3, where you get to a skill base. And then you can either work for yourself or you join another firm or you can go around the world, can't you?
Yeah.
But I believe, I'm a great believer in it, once you've got a skill under your belt, whether that's farming, all sorts of things, plastering, gardening, whatever, you've got something to work on for the rest of your life. And then an income, that's the thing we want to encourage people to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pay tax and that Tunes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's clearly what in the best interests of the island is if everyone in the island is as productive as possible and earning as much money as possible. That's generally a good thing for the economy, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other thing, I just wanted to quickly talk about community service. And community service, my involvement from years ago and recently too, is it's a great way for minor offenders to discharge their services to the community. And it's not there to work for government departments or local authorities, what I see anyway. Hmm. But we do have a difficulty at the minute. I did send Andy an email regarding from the probation service to say that they didn't have an expert to look after, not guard them, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Somebody that's responsible. And they didn't have anybody that somebody that actually left, and they haven't replaced them.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know what's going on there, if anybody's still having community service work done for the community. Because you know yourself, well, you'll know definitely too, that everybody thinks that the local authorities are responsible for all the weeds and government does nothing. Well, I can tell you for a fact, government does nothing at all. They don't even clean.
Funny you should mention that. There is I saw an email came in asking whether I'm still involved with the commissioners. Yes, are you still doing commissioner stuff? Plenty of weeds down south if you care. And yes, I am still involved, text ending 614. And we spray, I think it's 4.5 sprays, the half being the main roads and things get an extra, so that they get 5 sprays and the rest get 4. So we were a little bit late because we were catching up with the public rights of way. So that's that one. But yes, you're right, David. The main routes and probably the worst one in the south at the moment is the main route, which is maintained by DOI. That's the Castletown through to.
And you're going to be a little bit embarrassed because years ago, Phil, you signed a document.
I know.
to transfer services over.
Yeah.
It was 2018 or something like that.
No,
anyway,
no,
you'll know the one.
2015, I think it was. 2015. Because I lost my seat, as you'll recall, in 2016. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, we all do. Well, it happens to us all. But you put the mechanism down there. And the best thing you ever did, and I'll give you praise for this, actually, you said in that document, it's page 12 or 13 or something like that, it says that the department, that's the DOI, should negotiate that yearly.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
In my opinion, and I've asked the questions all over, we've never had any discussions with the DOI. I don't know. I'm not getting involved with the local authority down south, but at the end of the day, how much interaction do we have local authorities with the DOI? Do they come to us anymore? Do they have discussions? Or they just want to put stuff on the ratepayers all the time? I just think they're converting now from taxes to putting money onto the local authorities so we have to charge rates to do different things in different areas.
And you might well be right there, David. Sadly, we've got, well, not sadly, it's a good thing. We've got two other callers, so if unless there's anything else, I'll move on. Is that okay?
Don't forget the prayer put on the one. Bye.
Okay. Right, so that was David, and Julian is on line 2, I hope. Julian, are you there?
Hiya, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing reasonably okay. Yes, reasonably okay.
You get good.
Gullus gagging is my set phrase. Going and grumbling.
Yeah, no, we all have to do that. I was mentioning to Andy yesterday that the Isle of Man Climate Change Act only takes into account emission reductions from 2018. If anyone wants to just get hold of the PDF, Isle of Man Climate Change Act, and go to page 8. You can see exactly where it says that. And they're constantly telling us that we have to do better. But guess what, Phil? We're the only jurisdiction to hamstring ourselves by using 2018 as the start point for the reduction in our emissions. Everywhere else in Europe and the UK start in 1990 onwards. That's their start point. So if our Climate Change Act had specified 1990 and then put us on a level playing field with all the other countries that are browbeating us, we now know that we exceeded net zero goals 22 years ago when we put the gas power station in at Poolrose in 2003. And our reduction percentage in emissions at the moment is 78% compared to what 1990 was. And for context, the UK says that their net zero goals are 68% reduction by 2050. So we got 74% reduction when we put the power station in, 47 years before the UK's goal in 2050.
Yes, it's certainly one of those things where, you know, depending on what you're benchmarking and where you do your measurement, it's amazing what results you can come up with. That said, of course, the report that went to Tynwald in July, I think it was, yes, it was July, wasn't it, was one which demonstrated that government had missed pretty much all of its targets. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, again, I know the farmers have some concerns that they're being measured against the wrong time, because of course if you go back through history, certainly over several centuries, the numbers of livestock on the Isle of Man were probably a lot higher than they are now, and yet we're being told we need to reduce emissions from livestock. So it's a bit strange, some of these measures.
But I think people need to understand that it was a seismic event when the gas turbine at Poolrose replaced the diesel engines. If you put a graph of our emissions drop, it would almost be as bad as Ørsted's share price at the moment. I mean, it literally would almost be a downward perfect line. So I challenge anyone, including Professor Curran, Paul Crane, Claire Barber, Dr. David Quirk, to dispute what I'm saying. And why are we paying carbon credits for green certified electricity when we should be the poster child for the world? We've reduced our emissions on average 3.5 times faster than anywhere on the planet. And it all happened 22 years ago. So all this spending that we're doing on net zero is completely a waste of time, because we achieved this 22 years ago.
And I suppose what government would say is that if... And, you know, I know you're going to come back on this. If what they're doing actually helps to reduce our bills, then it's probably not a bad thing. And, you know, one area that clearly I don't think anyone could argue with is if we got better insulated homes and offices, we could reduce our energy bills. That in itself's not a bad thing, is it?
About 100 million, probably, on a wind farm. Why do we need a wind farm?
I didn't mention the wind farm. I was quite specific on insulation. That in itself wouldn't be a bad thing, would it?
No, as long as you don't have damp because you haven't got the house breathing properly. But my point is, are we being hoodwinked with a sleight of hand in statistics by starting off in 2018, when the vast majority of what is termed the low-hanging fruit of getting your emissions down was achieved in 2003? And should the Climate Change Act, at a minimum, be altered to 1990 so that we can follow the UK, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Netherlands, Belgium, Austria, Sweden, Finland, Ireland, Denmark, Luxembourg, Norway, Switzerland, Japan, New Zealand, Canada, Russia, Ukraine, Iceland, Liechtenstein and Monaco, who all are on a level playing field and we're not?
Interestingly, my glamorous assistant, Mr. Quirk from the other studio, has just... supplied me with some sheets of a sheet of paper with some statistics I think statistics is the right word, or targets is maybe a better word. United Kingdom net zero target 2050, year baseline 1990, same for Scotland, same for the European Union. Finland 2035 neutrality, they describe it, is using 1990 as their baseline. Canada 2050 is net zero, and they use 2005 as their baseline. New Zealand uses 2017 as the baseline. The United States uses 2005. India uses 2005. And we use 2018. So you're kind of right.
We are way ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, I hate to rush you because I've got Betty on the line three. Any bizarre dream that you want to share with us?
Well, no, but I would recommend trying motorbikes. I can personally vouch for it. And,
right.
Say hello to Betty for me. Hello, Betty.
I'll absolutely. And yes, maybe I should take up motorbike racing. At 60, I'm well, what was his name? Who came second yesterday? Locker, Ian Locker. He's 58, so yeah, there's hope for me here.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, yeah.
Better move on. Betty.
Thanks, Phil.
Oh, cheers then. So Betty, hopefully, is still on line three.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, sorry to keep you there, but yes, how can we help you?
Well, I don't know. I've just had a thought. Maybe those young people who are desperate for funding for apprenticeship should just go to prison.
Yep. Yeah. No, entirely correct, yes.
They might be better off in prison,
yeah,
learning stuff than they are. You know, that's just my thought.
Yeah, yeah. And any bizarre dreams that you've had, Betty?
No, I hardly ever dream, actually.
Oh.
I just don't seem to dream.
Oh.
Maybe I'm not imaginative enough.
Or maybe you're not stressed enough. Maybe it's a stress thing. I don't know. But
I don't know about being stressed. I get stressed all the time with whatever's on the news.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, well,
but
hopefully...
I just thought maybe all those young people desperate to become apprentices, just do something and get yourself into prison.
It's a thought. It's certainly a thought. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it from experience, but yes, maybe that would be the way to get an apprenticeship, because yes, the prison announced all the successes in educating or education for prisoners, so anyway, thanks for hanging on there, Betty, and I enjoyed that.
Okay
thank
you, take care, bye-bye.
Marvellous. So that was Betty. Right, let's have a look at some of these texts. Right, where are we? Dear Phil, Julian is referring to... Oh, this is WhatsApp messages. Julian is referring to what's known as G-Wiz graph by manipulation of the measuring standards utilised to give an appearance of more impressive results than is actually the case. Julian is perfectly correct on this, and that's from Samo in the City. So there we go. What else have we got here? Good afternoon. Please let me start by saying I'm not a racist in any way, shape or form, but it has taken me 3 weeks to get a doctor's appointment. Prior to my appointment, I popped into the surgery and waiting room was full of coloured people. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's text ending 470. And fast to my Phil, read the promenade tram tracks. The health minister remains in place despite Manx Care not sticking to budget and needing additional monies. Well, to be fair, she's not managed to be in post for a year yet, so it's probably early days in terms of that. The budget was set for her long before she got into post. So why can't Michelle Hayward, DOI Minister, just get the job completed and put the tracks back and after fait accompli then get any additional monies needed from Treasury? She's just a snowflake minister not able to get the job done. That's from Andy. Well, that's a bit harsh, Andy, but you know, I suppose the point you're making there is if it's good enough for one minister to get a supplementary vote, why does the DOI minister not do the same? There are lots of financial rules and regulations that would prevent that. But, well, anyway, that's for Michelle Hayward to discover. Well, I'd better play some of these old jingly fellas.
As Manx as the parish walk, Manx Radio.
As part of MGP and Classic TT25, look to the skies above Douglas Bay. For the very first time, the RAF Typhoon will be thundering into action to display above the Isle of Man. Tonight, 7:30 p.m., don't miss the breathtaking speed, power and noise of Britain's frontline jet fighter. Catch every manoeuvre with commentary live on Manx Radio FM and AM. Bring a radio, tune in and feel the thrill as it happens. The Royal Air Force Typhoon display. Loud, fast and unforgettable.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Search and Rescue Dogs Isle of Man are a self-funded charity who assist the emergency services looking for lost and missing people. The charity is always looking for volunteers to help by hiding for dog training or fundraising for the charity or other support in a variety of ways. For more information, please look up Search and Rescue Dogs Isle of Man.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Our island is beautiful and trees enrich our landscape. If you have trees on your land, then you're responsible for checking and maintaining them. Diseased or dead trees can endanger pedestrians and vehicles, so please ensure that you regularly check and trim your trees to keep everyone safe. There is lots of information online with details of landowners' responsibilities. To find out more, visit gov.im/trimyourtrees.
Out and about this summer, EVF service stations have everything you need to make the most of it. Hot and cold food, chilled wine and beers, barbecue essentials and more. You can even pick up your lottery tickets at our stations across the island. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Vannin Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
I should probably have got rid of the jingles that say Andy Wint, but for Andy Wint, read Phil Gawn, or hear Phil Gawn. Anyway, what have we got here? I think, is it Si has said about a dream? Oh, Simon it is. I had a dream the two Julias and Eddie phoned into the show without being drunk on their own self-exuberance. Well, there we are. I'm sure they would view it otherwise. And what else have we got? Afternoon, Phil. Am I missing something here? If a young person on the island looking to get an apprenticeship is nearly impossible unless you already gave a family member or have a family member working in the building trade to help you. But if you go to prison, it's offered and paid for only on the Isle of Man. And that's from Tony. And that mirrors what Betty was saying as well there. Graham Fox Hume, may I refer your listeners to the leading article in today's Daily Mail. It describes many of the problems with wind energy that I have raised on Man and Line, and basically concludes it is absolutely the wrong way to go economically and in the environmental impact it would have on our island, and there appears to be absolutely no case for even considering it. As I have said before, the answer lies beneath our feet, deep geothermal energy. Once installed, it is clean, green, unobtrusive and can last for 50 to 100 years or more. There are now more than 1,000 geothermal plants throughout the world. And I know that Isle of Man government rejects that and says actually it would be cost prohibitive because we'd have to dig a lot deeper than Graham suggests. But that's two versions of the truth, I suppose. Right. We have a caller on line one, and I think it's Mark. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, hi, Phil. Someone called in yesterday and was talking about how politicians are less than transparent with regards to their view on renewables, on net zero, and the production of gas in our territorial waters, which is now over because there's no license. And one of my friends was at the hustings at Garth last year, before the elections last year.
Yeah.
And I think Kroger or the government had produced a letter on their proposal, and that letter was read out at the hustings. And Daphne Kane actually said, well, if there's that much money involved, we should investigate it. So, of course, that's not saying whether she's was for it or against it. But after getting elected, it's very clear that she's absolutely against the development of the gas field. So I'd just encourage all listeners that when they come to vote next year, that they actually, pardon the pun, drill down on with their MHKs on what their exact views are, because, you know, it really is holding the island back. And the other point, and I'll shut up, is that, you know, Orsted is obviously it could be a disaster waiting to happen. I sit on the fence with wind, but with regards to the current position of Orsted from a financial position, it could be catastrophic for the Isle of Man. But the bigger downside is that because, and you may know more about this, Phil, because of the original agreement that the government signed with Dong, all cost consequences, should a gas field go ahead, are with the Isle of Man government. And that's why the Isle of Man government were hell-bent on making sure that Kroger signed a cooperation agreement with Orsted where all cost consequences would go to Kroger. And no future gas field developer or exploration company will sign up to that. So by having Orsted in play, they're actually preventing us, because of the original agreement with Dong Energy, which I think you signed when you were a minister.
I'll just finish.
And that's preventing the Isle of Man developing its gas field. So it's a disaster on a number of different levels at the moment.
Well, the Dong Energy agreement, whilst I was DOI minister, it was actually signed by the enterprise minister of the time, which I think was Lawrence Skelly. So I'm not as au fait with all the details on that one.
Okay. And I think Laurie Hooper was in the Department of Enterprise at that time as well.
This was before Laurie was elected. This was back
Was
it 2014, 15, sometime like that? I mean, in terms of ministers, obviously we've just had released the whole process of the Marine Infrastructure Management Act's management of the Orsted development and consideration of that development. The timing is quite bizarre in that the decision is to go to council of ministers either in September, October or November of next year. I think it's quite extraordinary for ministers to have to go through an election without being, because effectively, as they have to make the decision, they can't give a public view. Otherwise, you know, as soon as they give a public view, they can no longer be part of the decision-making body. So it's very unfortunate timing, or perhaps suspicious timing if you have a cynical head on you. I don't know, but yeah, interesting stuff. Anyway, there's a couple of additional callers, so I'd better let you go unless you have anything else pressing that you want to share.
Oh, I think you raised a good point, Phil. I mean, it's been kicked. The decision's being kicked into the next election, right? Which makes it a very important point next year when people come to vote, that they actually make sure they are very clear on their future MHK position with regards to the development of the wind farm, and also whether they are keen to develop the gas field. And the advantage of the gas field is that once it's done, there is no physical sign above the water, because everything's below water.
And of course, bizarrely, all of this, anyone who does declare what their clear position is in advance of the election, if they get elected and they get placed into Council of Ministers, they won't be able to take part in decisions relating to planning or planning in the marine environment, because they have a clearly stated position, which
that's ridiculous.
Which does make you wonder about the whole process that we've got in place. That is
an absolute ridiculous situation. I mean, because you want to know what your future MHKs are, but if they declare their position, then they can't, once they go into the Council of Ministers, they can't actually make a decision on the wind farm.
They can make decisions in relation to whether projects should go ahead or not, whether leases can be granted, things like that. But yes. What they can't do, because it's a semi-judiciary process, they can't consider right. planning applications, whether that be terrestrial or in this new Marine Infrastructure Management Act structure. So, yeah,
that's a bizarre situation.
It is quite crazy. Anyway, I'd better move on, but
it allows the current MHKs to operate in a grey area on their position and sit on the fence, and then once they get elected, they can actually, you know, declare their true their true colours with regards to whether they're for renewables, against them, or they want both to happen, you know. So it's very important that people really, put that to the fore when they vote next year. Thanks a lot, Phil. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. And absolutely, that is the case. If I were advising a prospective MHK, my advice would be your most important duty is to advise your constituents, not a kind of wishful thinking as to whether or not you get elected at some point. You might be involved in a semi-judiciary decision. Anyway, I think Duan is on line two. I hope he is, anyway.
How are you, Phil?
Well, I don't know. I'm still here, anyway.
Yeah. Are you handling them knobs and buttons all right?
Yes.
Now?
And I didn't manage to crash in the dream last night and managed to win this bizarre... TT race.
As long as you're handling all them knobs up at Manx Radio, then you'll be fine.
Well, I've almost got
the right direction. So.
Yeah, I was ready. I was ready with the news fader knob, only it wasn't on my. I'd forgotten to put it on the desk. Anyway, that's by the way. How can we help?
Just listening to Julian's figures before, and obviously, I mean, it takes a lot of time to go through all this stuff and cross-reference it and. Both myself and him meet at a lot of these meetings and follow a lot of the stuff that government's doing. It takes a lot of time to follow up, maybe on stuff that our members and MHK should be looking more into and spending more time, because a lot of this stuff now that's coming home to roost is very costly and very important. If we get this wrong, we have no rainy day money left in the bank to go forward with anything else. I think where we are now with the wind turbines and such like, if this goes wrong, then we're in the proverbial, I think. And I wonder sometimes, well, quite often, whether this is, I mean, obviously money related, and whether they're following ESG scores and the, you know, ESGs and DIs are our new god, obviously. They want to get rid of every other god and invent ESGs. Which governments seem hell-bent on following, and I keep saying about this government's initiative, or is it serving its people, or is it serving the ESGs and all these other things? I mean, if you look at Shell and BP now, they're pulling away a lot from renewables, and they're going back to, you know, traditional fossil fuel. So I begs the question when, you know, we get these figures through, and the fudging of figures. I mean, anyone, we ask a good accountant, you can make figures look good or bad in any way. If Julian says that these figures are right, and he's using their figures, it's not his, there's these figures that are from themselves in their own words, then, you know, surely there's a bigger question to be asked here on this. And just on the point there of Graeme Fox-Hume, who's just sent a message in before, and we've met with Graeme a few times, and I've said on this program quite a lot, and maybe as a former minister, you might answer this, Phil. Why is there no investigation into geothermal? Why is there this hell-bent decision to go down this route of making Ørsted a load of money with cheap seabed rights? Why are we not exploring geothermal, which would make us totally self-sufficient for generations to come?
Well, the reasons, I mean, it never came up when I was involved in the House of Keys, and that's getting on now. It's, I mean, it's nearly 10 years, well, it's 9 years certainly ago. It never came up during my time, as far as I'm aware, but what I have heard subsequently through a number of my programmes and also Manx Radio's programmes, the other Manx Radio programme, I should say, is that it's not as cost-effective to do as Graeme Fox-Hume suggests. Now, Obviously, Graham has got his views, and I don't for one moment argue that he has every right to have those views, and he's probably considered them quite deeply. But other people, and those people tend to be in the government, say, actually, no, that doesn't work for me. Anyway,
I would tend to say, though, Phil, you're talking to a man who's been in the industry, who has no edge now because he's retired, and lives here giving his views. And the government take their lead from people like Quirk and Curtis, who are financially invested in their side of the argument. So I would suggest that they need to look at that as well, in fairness, from a person who's actually spent his time in the industry and is putting this forward to, a drilling cost, which is quite easy to go out there and get a cost on doing a drill exploration. Because if this happened, we're talking about the problems of food sustainability and energy sustainability. And I get your insulation thing perfectly, 100%. That's common sense, Phil. But where we're heading with wind turbines is a totally different thing than insulation. And I think it could be missing a big trick here, because if that worked, we've got cheap electricity to run our hospitals, our schools, wind farms, server farms, everything. We could be leading in farming industry over here with polytunnels and everything.
Well, sadly, I've got two other callers on now, and I'd better move on to, because I'll have to play adverts and all sorts of other things. So thanks for that, Duan, and I'm back on tomorrow if you want to continue the conversation. Right, who's next? Bonzo, I think, is on line three.
Hello there, Phil.
How are we doing? I guess you've got a slightly different take on things to Duan and Julian.
Dear God, yes, I have. Yes, and indeed different take to Mark as well, who is busy trying to get Kroger out of its coffin, as usual. I mean, they've been trying to do that ever since the license ran out. They've been trying to do that more often than people try and get Dracula out of the coffin. But that leads me to my first point. People who decry the offshore wind farm, another point I'll come on to in a moment, but they usefully, from their point of view, confuse it with the onshore wind farm. So you'd be surprised how many people still have some strange idea that the offshore wind farm is something that we're going to pay for.
Right, which isn't the case.
But it's been so...
Mark suggested that the deal that's been struck, I mean, I have no idea about this, and we will try and find out a little bit more, that the deal that was struck was that decommissioning costs would have to be met by the government. That seems like a very unlikely and unusual thing for us to have agreed, or to Isle of Man government to have agreed to, but if that were the case, then there could be costs associated with the offshore wind.
Well, fine. So then you build that into the fees that you
charge.
And you index link it, like you index link all the payments that we get. But when it comes to that, the thing is, of course, about the offshore wind farm is that we lease the seabed, which is ours, and which is ours to lease. And UK government, of course, have no control over that, and have no control of that over the money that would then come from that. Different story with hydrocarbons. If, and it would be a very big if, there were these £5 billion worth of gas, as people most optimistically say there would be, do you think Rachel Reeves and the UK Treasury would allow us to keep that all? Oh no, they'd be on it like on a car bonnet.
Well, it depends. how effective our government would be at negotiating, I guess.
Oh, what, like the unilateral VAT renegotiation? Yeah, No, so, sorry, the UK government, as you know, can essentially do what it likes when it likes, when push comes to shove.
Well,
we have only as much home rule as the UK considers useful at any particular time.
I would disagree, but maybe we could discuss that. I don't know, are you busy tomorrow? But my switchboard is lit up, and I've got to
play
adverts.
We can speak tomorrow, but just to tell you my dream.
Go on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Strange dream involving Marianne Faithfull and Alison Goldfrapp.
Well, probably the less said about that, the better. thanks for that, Bonzo. Okay, so after the break, I will take the call from Eddie.
World-class racing returns to the Isle of Man. And while the racers take to the tracks, Tesco has everything you need to fuel your own adventure, wherever you're watching. From meal deals to barbecue essentials, we'll sort your pit stops this season. Setting up camp? Get race day ready with great value camping gear. With 10 stores open 7 days a week, Tesco are here to keep you on track. Tesco, every little helps.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Cybersecurity is important for any business, no matter what the size. Protecting both you and your clients' data dramatically reduces the risk of a cyber attack. Luckily, it doesn't have to be expensive. At JTG, we're island-based and tailor our approach to cybersecurity on your needs. Protection can be as little as the cost of a coffee a week. Click jtg.im and get your free business health check today. Keep you and your business safe with cybersecurity from JTG.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
As Manx as the hills, yes sir, Manx Radio.
Well, Tam says, get back to dogs, cats, wallabies, parking, 20 miles per hour, just normal stuff that Joe Public wants to know about. Poor show, guys. Well, I'm only as good as the callers, and we have loads of them. And Eddie is next, and he's on line 4.
How you doing, Phil? You all right?
Yes, good, good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm just going to repeat what I think you said a few minutes ago, that the government may think that it would not be cost-effective. Is that what you said? To do with
geothermal. Yeah. That's what they've said. Yes.
Oh well, what did this guy estimate it to be?
You're putting me on the spot. I'm not the expert. I'm not the expert, but
But you quoted that Graham fella. Given a figure, was it 3.5 million or something?
I've deleted the email, so I can't tell you.
It's irrelevant anyway.
But the
point is this: we have just wasted 3.2 million pound to Wardell Armstrong to give us information, which is going to be biased anyway because they're working for the MUA. But all the information that they've given us, we already had. So £3.2 million has just been thrown away. That could have been actually spent to do like Dewan said. Do a test. Oh, why not? Why are we shying away from it?
And of course,
let's find out once and for all.
Of course, what Wardle Armstrong and the MUA would say is that this is information that they have to gather in advance of putting in a planning application. So...
But it's already there, Phil. It's wasted. It is, regardless of how they word it, it is wasted money. We don't need to know what we already know, right? We have a category here on the island for everything we needed to know. Even the Manx Wildlife now are getting involved in all this nonsense. It's time it was put to bed, and let's wait for the next election. Just cancel everything that they're doing, because it's a total, I mean, it's a disaster throughout the world at the moment, isn't it?
Well,
nowhere in the world is saying yes.
It's not
to
for
win.
Not for me to comment, not least because obviously I have a direct interest as a close neighbour of the Airystain wind farm. Anyway, Eddie, I will have
likewise
to go, but if you're free to call again tomorrow if you so wish. But Chris Robertshaw is waiting on line one for us,
okay,
and I want to get him in before the end of the programme. Okay, cheers, okay, Eddie. So yes, finally then. Well, I don't know. It may be finally, Chris Robertshaw.
Well, let's try and make it quick.
And we've only got a few minutes, so yes.
Okay. Well, all right. Fine. Just a simple question, really. There's a whole load of ifs, buts, and maybes, because the government's getting itself in a terrible mess over future energy supply. But if it is now the case, and they're not saying it is, that the Ørsted wind farm could feed energy into the Isle of Man through our own cable, then why on earth do we not wait to find out one way or the other whether that's going to happen before we commit millions and millions of pounds to an onshore wind farm? Because what we're actually doing is adopting from Ørsted an intermittent power and then doubling or tripling it up again with endless more taxpayers' funds to replicate the same thing. I mean, how daft can you get? Second point, and I know I'm running out of time. Second point is this issue about postponing decisions to after the next election to the Council of Ministers. Well, you and I know full well that that's a peculiar way to go anyway, because we've already heard that it would be difficult for the electorate to influence things, because if it went straight to the Council of Ministers after the next election, we won't know who voted which way anyway, and so you could end up with a depends on how many ministers there are, but let's say it goes back to normal. It could be 6-4 and 3 against, but in reality, the House itself, under the new arrangements, could actually be against it, in which case there should be a clear opportunity for the people to speak their mind about these things in a clear fashion. But
and actually,
they can't
worse,
even...
worse than that, I suspect, if you were a savvy politician and you had a good way of getting elected without making your position clear, then you know, you could end up with there being a relatively small number of House of Keys members, just enough to make the decision, all of whom have kept their cards close to their chest, all of whom are perhaps in favour, but haven't been prepared to say that to the electors. Interesting. Yes.
Second, yeah, I agree, Phil. So, in other words, it's a complete fog. But what makes it much worse is that, and I've said this recently, but I'll repeat it because it's very important, that the Kroger contract and the opportunities for the people of the Isle of Man, should the gas pressure prove to be sufficient, was very, very clear. What we've heard from Ørsted is, oh, well, the Isle of Man will get this and that and the other, but, oh, if you want to know about the details, that's all confidential, commercially confidential, you can't see it. So effectively, how on earth can the people of the Isle of Man decide what's sensible and what's right? Phil, I'll finish with this. We're in a complete and utter mess, and it's about time we step back and thought again, because we've tried to rush into these things with a sort of zealot enthusiasm and found that we're getting ourselves into a terrible mess. So let's just step back and think again. Thanks, Phil.
Okay, thanks very much, Chris. I mean, the government would argue that it's taken, they've been considering things like renewable energy for about 20 years now, so it's maybe not so much of a rush. Anyway, I'll try and lash through some of the text. Apologies to texters. I do take your text seriously, but I've had so many phone calls that it's been a bit of a struggle. So there's a photo attached. This is from a WhatsApper ending 134. They might even give us a name. No, they haven't. A whole pile of rubbish on some photos. So I've attached photos of fly tipping near us in Macheld and the threatening letter from Garth commissioners. Great, you're on the show. That's very kind of you. But can you tell me, as former DOI minister and a commissioner's clerk, have you ever heard of anywhere on the island where people are threatened with prosecution after picking up a bootload of fly tip rubbish and over 15 bags of dog mess, and then after you keep they are maintained and cut the grass and weed back? I didn't quite understand that bit. But the commissioners in Garth knows who's doing the dumping. But instead of writing to them, they threaten me with prosecution if I continue to tidy up the mess. The fly tipping has continued and the commissioners near Macheld have ignored it, but I can't touch it, which astonishes many of us in Garth. Have you ever heard of such a thing? And that's from Rich. And no, I haven't. That does seem quite bizarre to me. What else have we got? We've got more on there, but I'll have to press this button. Because we are running out of time, let's go. What have we got here? Thanks for broadcasting my texts. That's from Tam. What else have we got? We've got... Phil, why is the financial benefit of Ørsted so poor? Less than 100k total for exclusive pre-development, paying 200 million per annum for the same. I'm not sure that is the case. I don't think we've had the figures. Also, 2 billion over 35 years is nothing. The export value of the scallops over the same period is around half a billion. And that's just one component of many sectors that will be negatively affected. And it goes without saying, the island's fisheries have been here for many generations and will be here for many generations to come, not just for the next 35 years. That's it.